Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Nothing lasts forever, but in a world filled with cheap, disposable goods available from any big box store in America, you've got to appreciate quality handmade goods that are destined to live for generations. Eric Gorgeous knows what it takes to make something that lasts. He builds custom motorcycles from the wheels up, and he's host of a new show on public television called A Craftsman's Legacy. From goldsmiths to saddle makers to glassblowers, Eric interviews and observes some of the most skilled old-school craftspeople as they practice and pass on their skills to a new generation of artists. Eric Gorgeous, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, you make a really good point. In just the first few minutes of the first episode, that the old days of shop class seem to be disappearing. So what is happening to the kinds of handmade craft work that you talk about on the show?
You know, I think what's happening is that, especially in the States, we don't really have an appreciation for craftsmen necessarily anymore. I think people are so used to being able to, you know, go online and just click, 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 and, you know, it's at their doorstep the next day, that a lot of people forget that there's still people in our society that they make their living with their hands, and, and everything they do, they put their heart and soul into.
And you're a craftsman yourself. You build motorcycles. How did that experience inform where you wanted to go with this show?
My whole experience with building motorcycles, you know, I found my way to it in life. It's not what I always did. I was actually in a corporate environment for a long time, and I really, really enjoyed what I did. But over time, I ran into some medical issues, and it really made me think about what I was doing with my life and where I wanted to go with it. And one thing that I always appreciated was making things and working with my hands. And I just put my notice in and left.
Yeah.
And took an apprenticeship to become a metal shaper. I didn't want to be constricted by other people's designs. I wanted to make whatever I could think or dream of. So that's what I did.
Well, that's quite a transformation. Is that what you're hoping to inspire other people to think about, making things with their hands? Or are you holding these craftspeople up as someone to admire?
A little bit of both, honestly. You know, one of the things that I like to say about the show is that, you know, we want to inspire people to think about working with their hands again. And because a lot of people sit back and they watch it and they're like, oh, man, I'd love to do that. I wish I could do it. And I'm always telling them, I'm like, man, you could do that. There's no secret sauce here. It's just putting time in.
Well, let's hear a little bit from The Craftsman's Legacy. In the first episode, you speak with woodworker John Wilson, who is also a teacher. Now, here's what he had to say about teaching his craft.
You know, the old adage is, you can't take it with you. That is, your material things, you're going to be in a coffin someplace, and this is all it.
Yes.
But you know what you do take with you? It's your knowledge, if you haven't shared it.
Really interesting point, that the best craftspeople don't possess their knowledge. They don't keep it. What does that mean for you?
That's everything to me. It's just really important, I think. You know, it's so selfish to work with your hands and not share that with others and not enlighten other people's lives with that, you know?
Well, it's one thing to make something, but I think of that whole shop class as soul craft kind of book, you know, that movement,
yes,
the maker movement, that there's something deeper that's being touched here, not just creating a product. What do you think, after speaking with several different craftspeople, you're getting at in a deeper way?
You know, it sort of speaks to your soul. I mean, for thousands of years, we've made things with our hands. We've had to survive. Even if you've never been exposed to that environment in your life, and at 40 years old, you start working with wood turnings or ceramics or beadwork or whatever you want to do, I think that almost goes back to your heritage. And, you know, you remember that and see the joy in it.
Well, there is the product, of course, that we see as, you know, viewers, as consumers, that we can appreciate. And for some of these skills, glass blowing, I'm thinking of, it is easy to see the artistry, the creativity. But there's also a deeply technical aspect that you can't always see from the showroom. And here's an example. Glassblower April Wagner, a clip from episode 2 of A Craftsman's Legacy, a new show on public television.
There's a lot of chemistry and physics involved with melting the glass and controlling the temperature. And a lot of the equipment that I use is handmade. So then you have to understand a little bit about metal. You have to understand a little bit about ceramic castables. So the building of a shop and the maintenance of that shop is a whole layer of understanding that has nothing to do with actually working the glass.
We're talking to Eric Gorgeous. He is host of a new show on public television called A Craftsman's Legacy. Do you think April sees herself as an artist, as a craftsman? I'll use that term generally. And what do you think of that divide after hosting this show and speaking to so many artisans?
That's a question I asked every single craftsman I worked with, was how do they see themselves? Do you see yourself as a craftsman or as an artist? Some people, you know, immediately they would say, well, I see myself as a craftsman, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And others, April herself, you know, she said, I'm an artist. A few people said both. It's not a black and white type question. There's no right or wrong to it. It's just perception and how they see themselves. You know, I see myself personally as a craftsman.
What do you think that difference is? Why do you think it's so hard to hop over? Is there a line in the sand?
I don't think there is a line in the sand. No, you know, some people will say, you know, you're an artist if you sign your work and others can see it. You know, you're a craftsman if you sign your work and others can't see it readily. To be honest with you, I think everybody that we featured is a little bit of both.
You've hit on something, too. I'm going to just try and illustrate this point with Sharon and Tom Caldwell. This is a husband and wife team, and they make beautiful saddles that strike me as kind of the definition of old school. Here's a clip. There's Tom Caldwell talking about why they do what they do.
Not only do we take pride in what we do, but we're also proud of the fact that you appreciate it, that you appreciate our effort. That, you know, if we're generic, that makes something that's common, that's ordinary, or whatever the case may be, where's the pride? Who cares?
So I'm going to go back to one of the things that you talked about, sort of whether or not the artists or the craftspeople need to broadcast it. All the people that you spoke with, despite having highly advanced skills and artistry, all seem pretty humble.
Oh, absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
I just think that's the way most craftsmen are, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I think they just have a pride and respect for what they do and who they are, and they're not worried about sharing that knowledge, and they're not afraid of sharing that knowledge, you know, and I think with that comes being humble, you know. Everybody talked about the legacy involved with what they're doing, and some of them really regarded it higher than others, I think, you know. For John Wilson, for instance, it was very important to him to expand that knowledge and to write books and videos and share that knowledge with as many people as possible. And other people, you know, I worked with a stone carver in Illinois, and he was very aware that, you know, everything he builds will last hundreds of years. But he was also so humble in that when I asked him, what can you tell me about your legacy? He said, you know, I don't think about it much ever.
Well, you got to try your hand at doing a little of each of the crafts that you featured on the show. Which was the most difficult for you to pick up on the fly?
You know, I think I stumbled with a lot of them. Ceramics or pottery was definitely probably the hardest thing for me.
Was this on a wheel?
It wasn't. Yeah. No, we didn't use a wheel. I made a teapot, and it was sort of difficult for me because I'm so used to working with metal. It took me a minute to, you know, figure out how soft that was and how pliable it was. So yeah, that was a challenge for me.
Will we be seeing your teapot for sale?
Eric? I doubt it. I don't think it'll hold tea, actually.
Well, Eric Gorgeous, best of luck on the new show, and thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Eric Gorgeous is host of the new show from American Public Television. It's called A Craftsman's Legacy. It's on Saturdays at 5:30 here on New Hampshire Public Television. And there's a link to view some back episodes. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now stay with us. After the break, we're going to look back to the very first craftspeople and the very first handmade tool, the Acheulean hand axe. We'll wield that when Word of Mouth continues.